Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Morning has broken. Give thanks for the morning, this day and every day. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End on this Confirmation Sunday. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending. We want to welcome you. And those of us who are here week in and week out, we'll seek out folks that we don't recognize and come and greet you and wish you well. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come and introduce yourselves to us, because we are pleased that you're here and we would love it if you would make a home here with us. One way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll find inserts in your bulletin that give you lots of opportunities to do just that. I'm going to mention a few things, however. We are collecting healthy snacks for Project Transformation for this summer. You'll find a big blue bin in Reed Hall and another one down by the magic doors coming in off the parking lot. If you would like to bring those snacks in, we will be collecting them through the month of May. Also, on June 14th at 4:30 p.m., Jonathan Carl will be offering a farewell concert. Jonathan is a longtime member of our choir. He was an intern here during his time at Vanderbilt Divinity School, and Jonathan has been appointed to serve a church in Memphis. So he'll be pastor of a church in Memphis and would like to offer a gift back to the congregation for all that you have given him over the years. That's June 14th at 4:30 here in the sanctuary. Also, beginning June 7th, we begin our combined Sunday school class in McWhorter Hall. Especially for those of you who may not belong to a Sunday school class, didn't think Sunday school class was for you, we're using a book by Trevor Hudson, very engaging writer and thinker, and we think at least give it a try. Give it a try. You'll have different leaders each week. A number of different folks will be leading the various sessions through the summer. So all are welcome, but especially we encourage you, if you haven't tried out a Sunday school class, give this one a try. Also, pictorial directories are available. There's a table in Reed Hall. If you got your photograph made, please don't forget to go pick up a directory. And this evening at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary is our monthly Tezay service. If you haven't experienced Tezay, it's a time of prayer, of singing, of silence. It is a time of quiet and respite in the busyness and noisiness of the world. And so let me encourage you to come this afternoon at 5. Give that a try. If you've already experienced it, you know what a treat it is to have that time for worship. Do you ever see these lists, maybe in magazines or online, the 10 richest people, the 10 greatest colleges, the 10 best places to retire? We're always concerned with the best and the most and the greatest. Well, when Jesus' disciples got into an argument about who was greatest, he turned the tables on them. Stick around. He may just turn the tables on you too.
Come quench your thirst in the love of God. Be like trees planted by the streams of living water, ready to receive God's nourishment.
Strengthen us, O God, to receive your blessed peace.
You may be seated. Let us repent of those things that have drawn us away from God and our neighbors, that we may receive the joy of forgiveness. Forgiving and gracious God, you have called us to be the church, to live out our resurrection faith. You have asked us to place our trust in you and to bring to all the good news of your saving love. But we have failed to do this. Forgive us when our faith takes a back seat to the troubles of the world and to the stresses in our own life. You who raised Christ from the dead, you promise to raise our spirits and bring us to new life. You have done this, and yet we remain static in our response to you. Clear our spirits of the clutter of everyday living. Help us to be open always to your word and your love. Challenge us to move in directions of peace and hope for all people. Forgiveness and love have been poured out upon you to offer hope to all nations. You are called and blessed to be messengers of God's good news to all people. Amen. Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the gospel according to Luke. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you just as my Father has conferred on me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come and join us, we would be pleased to have you do that. Bring a parent if you would like. It's perfectly okay. Today, I have a story to tell you that is one that Jesus told originally. It's kind of a weird story, actually, and I will kind of clue you in as to when it starts getting really weird. It's a story about a farmer who had a big vineyard, lots of grapes to be picked, and when he needed those grapes picked, he went out early in the morning to find people who would work on his farm. So he found some people. He said, "I will pay you one denarius," which is about what it takes to live for a day. So it was a day's pay, basically. So they came and started working. And then he saw that they weren't going to get finished, so he went out about middle of the morning and found some more people and said, "Come work for me." He didn't say what he would pay, but they said, "Sure." He went out again in the middle of the day and again in mid-afternoon. And then about an hour before it was time to quit working, he went back and he saw some people standing around. He said, "What are you doing standing around here?" They said, "Nobody would hire us." He said, "Well, I will. Come on. Come on. Come work for me." So they came and they worked 1 hour. Now, this is where it starts getting really weird. When the farmer decided to pay all of the workers, he started with the ones who had only worked for an hour. And at the end of the line were the ones who worked all day. The last ones hired were the first ones to be paid. And when he paid them one denarius, the exact same amount that it takes to live for a day, and the same amount that he had promised to pay to the ones who had worked all day. Well, when the ones who had worked all day saw it, they thought, "This is great, because if he pays those who worked for 1 hour enough to live all day, then we deserve more, don't we? We deserve to be paid a lot more than that." So they were looking forward to being paid a lot more because they thought they deserved it. But every single worker he paid just enough to live on for that day. When he got to those who had worked all day and he gave them their pay, they said, "Wait a minute, this isn't fair. They only worked an hour. We worked all day." The farmer said, "What did I agree to pay you?" They said, "Well, one denarius. But we worked all day and they just worked an hour." He said, "What did I pay you?" They said, "One denarius." He said, "You have no reason to complain. I paid you exactly what it takes to live all day and exactly what I agreed to pay you." They said, "Yeah, but they got paid the same." He said, "Are you telling me I can't be generous with what belongs to me? Are you telling me I can't choose to pay them enough to live on for a day if I choose to with my money?" Now, that sounds like a terribly unfair story. It does to me. Except everybody who worked all day, and everybody who worked a part of the day, and everybody who worked just an hour needed that much to live for the day. And the farmer knew that. They got what they needed to live. And we get what we need to serve Jesus. You know? We all do. And thank goodness we do. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more up here in the sermon about the disciples of Jesus arguing about who's the greatest and who deserves more. Guess what? They got surprised just like those workers did. So as you listen to the sermon, see if you can't hear the story I just told you in the sermon as well. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us everything we need for each and every day. Thank you for calling us to do your work and then giving us what it takes to do that. Thank you for calling us to be your people and helping us to be your people and be the loving light of Christ wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. For those of us who have the privilege of preaching every week, sometimes Sunday rolls around about every other day. Or at least it feels that way. Even for those of us who really, really like to preach, all you have to do is throw in a couple of deaths and a wedding and a confirmation and a confirmation rehearsal and a few other things. And pretty soon that time to prepare gets very, very constricted. Now, every Tuesday we have two Bible studies, one in the early morning, one at noon. And we study the text that I'm going to be preaching on, or whoever is preaching is going to be preaching on the following Sunday. So if you ever get good ideas from these sermons, you can rest assured I stole them from one of those two Bible studies, and I'm sharing them with you. Actually, it really does help to talk through those things. But I have worked through this last shall be first, greatest shall be least text so many times that when I finished the Bible studies on Tuesday, at the end of each one, I had to confess, I have no idea what I'm going to say on Sunday. I have no idea what I can say that could be new. And then Tuesday afternoon, I happened to be talking with my friend, Jeff Howerton, West End member, and Jeff was telling me a story. He had seen a sign with an advertisement that had used the word deserve. And we all think we deserve at least what we have, and those of us who have a lot think we deserve more, and those of us who have vastly more than we need think we're entitled not only to that but a lot more, right? So deserve is kind of the word for our culture. He said, you know, I had never heard before that if you take the D-E off of that, you get D-serve. You delete serving. You don't have to serve. And if we get what we deserve, of course we don't have to serve because other people wait on us, right? Well, you see, through Jeff, God had given me what I needed to say today, I think. In the text you heard, the disciples of Jesus are arguing about what they deserve. Now, in Luke, this comes right in the middle of the Last Supper. They are finishing the meal. Jesus says to them, "One of you will betray me." They begin to discuss who it might be, and then almost immediately the conversation shifts from who might betray him to who's the greatest, right? Now, we as disciples never argue about who's the greatest, do we? I know we as preachers never do. Yeah, don't believe that. They start to argue about who's the greatest because they see the time coming when Jesus is going to reestablish the throne of David. And they want to be the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State. And they want to have high positions because they deserve it. Right? After all, they have stuck with this guy who has been telling stories and teaching them stuff, most of which they did not comprehend, but they stuck with him. They have followed him up to this point, and now they deserve some kind of reward for that, don't you think? They did. And so they're arguing about what they deserve. That'd be pretty silly, confirmands, wouldn't it, if you were to get into an argument about who was the greatest? Right? That'd be pretty silly. And yet these adult men did. And when they did, Jesus said to them, now wait a minute. Who is the greatest? Those of us who are sitting around this table, the table would have been a kind of horseshoe-shaped table called a triclinium. It would have been very low so that those gathered around it would have been reclining with their elbow resting on the floor and eating with their right hand, and their feet would have been sticking straight out from the table. And those who served would have come into the inside of that, you, to serve. Saying, now who would serve? Who's the greatest? The ones who sit around the table or the ones who come into the middle and serve? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Those of us who are at the table. We hardly pay attention to those who are serving, right? He says, now among the Gentiles, as soon as he says Gentiles, the disciples would have gotten a bad taste in their mouth. The Gentiles are those other people. They don't know to follow the one living God. They do not know to keep kosher. They do not follow the laws of Moses. But the Gentiles hear Romans lord it over other people. They want to be the greatest. They want to know that they're the greatest. And when they lord it over people and when they oppress them, they make those people call them benefactors, those who do good. You see, they've reversed it. The people who are doing good for them get no acknowledgement, and yet they're the ones getting waited on, and they're the ones who are called benefactors. That's how the Gentiles do it. But Jesus says, it will not be so among you, because you see, I come among you as one who serves. And all of a sudden, the tables had turned. All the wind had been taken out of that argument about who was the greatest, because the one who they thought was the greatest came as one who served. How often do we think we deserve what we have and even more? My friends, we don't deserve the very first breath we took. We don't deserve having a family around us that helped us to grow. We don't deserve finding a community of faith that will help us to grow in our faith. We don't deserve finding a life companion who will accompany us on the way. We don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve from the first breath to the last any. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. And it's a gift so that we can use it to serve God by serving others. Now, all through Easter, all through this season, we've been talking about service and serving. And it comes to this. The greatest among us will be the youngest. These confirmands, these children who come to hear children's time. The youngest will be the greatest. The least will be the greatest. The first will be the last. In that story I told the children, which is a troubling story, it has troubled me all my life, and it continues to every time I tell it because it seems so patently unfair. But about 30 years ago, a friend named Megan McKenna and I were traveling around with a group of storytellers and clowns and mimes and fire eaters and jugglers, and you can probably imagine that, can't you, that I would travel with that crowd. I was sitting in on one of Megan's classes, and she taught this story. And the way she taught it was this. She said, we're going to line up in a line from those who would be chosen first to those who would be chosen last. Those who would be chosen first, of course, would be strong, young males. I was in my 30s then. Hey, I have a PhD. Doesn't matter. We're picking grapes. Strong, young men. So I got toward one end of the spectrum here. I was toward the first chosen. But then as you moved down, there were women. And at the end of the line, there were children, and those over 60, and those with disabilities. And guess what? Throughout my life, I have moved consistently from the first chosen to the last chosen. And yet God has continued to give me everything I need to do what God has called me to do. Thank God for that. I think if we simply hear this as a story of an unfair pay scale, we mishear the story. We misinterpret it. Instead, I think depending on our position in society, depending on whether we would be one of the first hired or one of the last hired, We may begin to hear it as a story of God providing for all everything we need to do what God has called us to do, which is to serve God and our neighbor. Confirmands, God has given you everything you need. You may be the first chosen or you may be the last chosen when it comes to playing ball, when it comes to spelling bees, when it comes to class. But you know what? God, like that farmer, has given you every single thing you need and will continue to do that the rest of your lives as long as you live. That's what it means to be a disciple. It will not be so among you, Jesus says, that you lord greatness over each other. No, because I come among you as one who serves, and I send you forth as those who serve. You know, there is a name for that. There is a word for that. And we United Methodists like to use that word a lot. The word is grace.
Weston United Methodist Church welcomes all who are with us this morning. We're so glad that you're here. A special word of welcome is extended to any first-time visitors. We're so glad to have you. If you would like to join us in Reed Hall after the service, there's a Bread for the Journey table and a place to meet people and find out more ways to be involved here at West End. You'll notice that there is a attendance pad that's in the middle of the middle aisle. If you'll sign that and pass it along, noting who you're worshiping with, and you can introduce yourself and get to know one another. There's also a gray card in the pew rack that's in front of you. One side, you can put comments for staff and lay leadership. On the other side, you can put prayer requests, and we'll lift you throughout the week in prayer. We celebrate with the Wilson family. A rose is on the altar this morning for Valla Marie Wilson. She was born on Tuesday, May the 5th, to Holly and Meyer Wilson. She's welcomed also by her big brother, Merritt Wilson. We are mourning the death of Jeffrey William Creel. He died May the 9th, and services were held on Wednesday, May the 13th. We now prepare our hearts and minds to hear God speak to us as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Generous God, you give us all that we have and all that we are, from the first breath we take to the last one we release. With each inhale and exhale, your presence is with us. We are grateful for the simple things of life, a hug from a friend, preparing food that we will share, a walk on a sunny day. We are grateful for the complexities of life, a challenging conversation, the brilliant colors in a changing sunset, all the plans and work of a day. We come with grateful hearts, renewed and refreshed. Lord, some of us, our needs have drawn us here. We offer to you our concerns for those living on the edge of unknown, for those living with an illness that narrows life choices, for those who know discouragement. Lord, for some of us, our hearts are heavy for those we love, for those who worry constantly about a loved one's path, for those who live in fear of violence, for our brothers and sisters without food, for our sisters and brothers in prison. Lord, we offer that which is on our mind and our heart in a moment of silence. this week, give us the courage to speak a word of grace when it may not be easy to speak, to be a listening ear when we are tempted to give easy advice, to reach out with a secret act of service that may never be discovered. We pray these things in the name of the one who showed us a life built and sustained by prayer, and who gave us these words in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us return to God the offerings of our life and our gifts. Freely we have received, and freely we give.
Thank you. Two of the great joys of the church are baptism and confirmation. This morning, Ethan Davis Harrell presents himself to God before the community of faith for baptism, and then join Macy Walker Gilmore, Charles Reed Hansen, Mary Frances Harrell, Betty McFarlane Hoyt, Andrew William Lancaster, Donald Fay Pierce III, Olivia Denise Pickens, Sarah Caroline Rogers, Catherine Ward Ryan, Allison Paige Stewart, Riley Elizabeth Werner, and Eva Grace Fernanda Whalen for confirmation.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared in our baptism. Acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our covenant to Christ's holy church.
Now to those being baptized and confirmed, I ask, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world?
We will.
And now, to the members of the congregation, I ask, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both the rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the affirmation of faith written by this year's confirmation class. Please stand as you are able. We believe God is the almighty creator of all things and the giver of all life.
God is forgiving and loves us unconditionally.
We believe Jesus is a loving Savior, Son of God, King of kings.
Jesus came to earth to see, feel, and taste as a human being, the truth and light made flesh. We believe in the Holy Spirit who is always with us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are given strength and guidance to believe in God. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. We believe human beings are the gifted children of God, flawed but forgiven. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves.
We believe the church is one body in Christ, where people come to celebrate, receive comfort and hope, and give thanks. We believe as a disciple of Christ, we serve the purpose to teach and help others understand God's love.
Loving light of Christ. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. When nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and he who receives it to wash away his sin, to clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that in dying and being raised in Christ, he will share in his final victory. Ethan, please kneel. Ethan Davis, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you will lay your hands on him. Ethan Davis, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
If everybody will kneel, that's at the communion rail. A.C. Walker, remember your baptism and be thankful.
May I lay hands on her?
A.C. Walker, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
Charles Reed, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Charles, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
Mary Frances, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Mary Frances, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
Amen. Betty McFarland, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Betty McFarland, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
Andrew William, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Andrew William, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
Olivia Denise, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Olivia Denise, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
Amen. Donald Fay III, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Donald Fay, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
Sarah Caroline, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Sarah Caroline, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ
all of your days. Amen.
Catherine Ward, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Catherine, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Allison Page, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Allison Page, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Riley Elizabeth, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Riley Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
Ava Grace Fernando, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Ava Grace, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days.
Confirmands, will you stand? As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? Amen. As members of this congregation at West End United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Friends in faith, parents or grandparents that are here as the representative for this confirmation student, please present the confirmands with their stoles and place them around their shoulders. If parents and grandparents that are behind all the confirmation students, if you'll find your way back to your seat, congregation, we'll ask the confirmation students to turn around and face the congregation. So, members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love.
As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church,
we renew our covenant faithfully,
to the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Now may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace always. Amen.
On behalf of the youth ministry at West End, I want to welcome you all to the church and into the youth group. We look forward to your involvement in our ministry as we grow together in being the loving light of Christ. Also, we invite the entire congregation to join us immediately following the service in Reed Hall to welcome our newest members to West End United Methodist Church.
And now I send you forth not as those who dispute over who is the greatest. No, but as those who have received everything they need to serve God and their neighbor in all that they do. And God, the giver of all good gifts, Jesus Christ, God's greatest gift, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to use our gifts for others, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.